No matter what you're going through, God has a plan. No matter what you've lost, God has a plan. No matter what the devil tries to do to you, God still has a plan. And no flesh on earth, no devil in hell can stop God's plan.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Welcome to the weekend edition of Life Talk. Today we are continuing the message entitled, When Dreams Are Dashed. This is our first chapter on the series we call Faith Breakers. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
Nothing takes the wind out of your sails like losing your dream. You worked hard toward that goal, lived for that aspiration, looked forward to the day you would experience the fulfillment of that long-awaited dream, only to see it crash on the rocks of disappointment. What is the Christian to do then? Not only do these types of experiences disappoint us to the max, they can also shake our faith. Where was God, we ask? I thought He gave me that dream. My faith was invested in that vision for my life, so why didn't it come to pass, we wonder. This is why I've called this series Faith Breakers, because sometimes our faith is shaken when we so believe for a certain thing and for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen. The Bible contains many examples of people that experienced this very thing and also tells us how they got past it with their faith intact and even stronger. One such person is Simon Peter, who we will focus on today in our message. So grab your Bible and join me for part two of the message, When Dreams Are Dashed.
Hanging there, the one who had walked on water, who had spoken like no man ever spoke, who always seemed to be on top of things. Now he's hanging on a cross. He's bloodied, he's beaten, he's bruised, he's about to die. Peter doesn't understand it. His dream is dashed. Jesus looked like anything but in control, like a conquering hero would have and should have looked. Peter's dream, his vision for the future, the hope for which he'd sacrificed everything, spectacularly crumbled right in front of his eyes. Wow. You ever felt that way? Something you were really believing God to do, and it spectacularly just falls apart in front of your eyes, and you're sitting there going, what is up with this? What is going on with this? How has this come down? How has this happened? This isn't where my faith was. This isn't anywhere where my faith was. What is up, Lord? Now hold that thought. Just shelf Peter for a minute. Let me talk to you about somebody else who went through exactly the same kind of disillusionment. Go to another story in the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, we read about a very happy Hebrew family made up of four people. The daddy was Elimelech. The mama was Naomi, and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. These names throw me. Mahlon and Chilion. So you had Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion. Happy Hebrew family, but a famine hit Bethlehem, so they had to flee Bethlehem, and they went to Moab. Moab was a place of false gods, false idols, false religion, false beliefs. Polytheism, they believed in many different gods. They worshiped at the idols of false gods. They were not a godly people, but they moved there because they didn't know what else to do. There wasn't a famine there, so they went. Once in Moab, you read that the two boys found two wives, Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah, and Ruth. Well, so far, so good. Now, Naomi and Elimelech, the parents, have not only two sons, but two daughters-in-law. But that's when everything began to change, because soon Naomi's vision of a happy family with grandchildren bouncing on her knee is shattered, because the Bible says her husband and two boys died for various reasons, and she is left lying in the ashes of her shattered dream, just like Peter. You know the rest of the story. The Bible says that when all this went down, Orpah said to Naomi, I'm going back to my people. I love you, but I'm going back to my people. And she didn't cleave. She left. She left. She left Naomi in her pain, went back to her people, the Moabites. But Ruth made that famous statement. I'm paraphrasing it. She said, where you go, I will go. Where you lie, I will lie. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. You can't pry me away from you. I am sticking with you, Naomi, through it all. I'm with you till death. And she covenanted with this woman. She said, I'm going back with you. And the Bible says that she followed her back to Bethlehem. The beaten, disillusioned, shattered Naomi, she followed back to Bethlehem. And when the women there saw her, they said, hey, Naomi, how's it going? And Naomi said this. She said, don't call me Naomi. That means pleasant. Because actually, you need to call me Mara, meaning bitter. For the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Notice how she's blaming God for her trouble. She's blaming God for all that has happened to her. For the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. I'm bitter. Life has dealt me a bad hand. I'm bitter. I've got failed expectations squared to the 10th power. I've been let down. I don't know which end is up. And then she says this, I went out full, but the Lord has brought me home again empty. What a way to go. I went out with four of us. I've come back with one of us. There were four. Now there's one. We were a happy family, but now there's one. You call me bitter because I'm bitter. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at life. I'm mad at circumstances. I'm mad at whatever I can be mad at. I'm bitter. I'm let down. I'm ready to check out. I've experienced the opposite of what I saw for my future. What my faith expected, what my dreams anticipated, they just haven't happened. You ever feel that way? Life lets you down, and you want to look up and say, God, where were you? Why'd you do this? Why'd you let this happen? Both Peter and Naomi experienced dashed dreams, shattered hope, disappointed expectations. Both of them. One Old Testament, one New. Now, the second thing the Bible reveals with both stories. Think of both stories. Here's what the Bible shows us. In both stories, God had a plan. I want you to say with me, God has a plan. Now, I want you to say it like you mean it. God has a plan. No matter what you're going through, God has a plan. No matter what you've lost, God has a plan. No matter how life has gone, God has a plan. No matter what the devil tries to do to you, God still has a plan. And no flesh on earth, no devil in hell can stop God's plan. God has a plan. Because of Peter's limited understanding of what Jesus had to go through, he failed to see that even through the dark night of Jesus' betrayal and crucifixion, God was working out his eternal plan. See, no matter what the devil does, God has always got a silver lining going through it. God has always got his hand in it. God is always moving in spite of it. You can't stop the hand of God. When God decides to move, you cannot stop him. You cannot hinder him. You cannot shut him down. It is God who always says, checkmate. Always. See, Peter's hope in a conquering Jesus, it was misinformed, but it wasn't wrong. It was a matter of timing and God's way. And so many things are a matter of timing. So many things hinge on timing. We don't understand God's timing. I don't know about you, but my timing and his are never the same. And thank God for that, because I would have gotten so many things way back. The things I wanted at a certain age would have ruined me if God had given them to me. I'm finding that now, a lot of what I saw for myself in my 30s, now that I'm in my 40s, are coming to pass. God had a time. He's a God of exquisite, perfect timing. And here, Peter didn't understand that there was a first. Jesus had to be crucified, buried, and resurrected. And it would be after these things he was made Lord of lords, King of kings, the Lord of a conquering church, and the soon coming Messiah. And then when he comes again, he's going to rule the world with a scepter of righteousness, and the devil's going to be thrown into hell where he belongs. And all flesh is going to be shut down, and there's going to be no more sickness, no more disease, no more pain, no more heartache, no more cancer, no more nothing. But it's a matter of timing. So Peter saw his vision come to pass. He saw his dream that had apparently died brought to life by God. And that's why so often God will give you a dream and he'll let it die. He'll let it die, and you'll do everything you can to resurrect it. You'll do everything you can to bring it to pass, but it can't come to pass under your hand, under your strength, under your talent, under your ability. God won't let it happen. God will let that dream die, and then he'll resurrect it in his time and in his way. And when it comes back from the apparent dead, no flesh can get the glory but God. God will get the glory when your dream comes back to life. God had a plan. And Naomi's grief and disappointment hid from her eyes the fact that God was working out a plan that she could never have imagined in her wildest dreams. What God had in store was so far beyond what she could ever have imagined. Because you see, she had to go to Moab to get Ruth. What looked like a detour turned out to be the hand of God, because God had spotted a little gal in Moab named Ruth. And God had a plan for Ruth that she or Naomi or anyone else on earth could never have imagined. Because you see, he was going to hook her up with Boaz, and they would be married, and they would produce a child. And Ruth was therefore grafted into, by marrying Boaz, grafted into the sacred lineage that would bring forth Messiah Jesus, because she married Naomi's kinsman Boaz. God brought Ruth and Boaz together in marriage. They had a boy named Jesse. Jesse became the father of King David. And out of King David's distant lineage came Joseph of the tribe of Judah, who married Mary, from whom was born Christ Jesus, our Lord. So God said, I'm going to let them, it's going to look like a detour, but I'm going to let them go to Moab, and I'm going to bring Ruth along, and I can't explain it, but somehow in God's sovereignty, he let either Mahlon or Chilion go home. And he brought Ruth to Bethlehem, introduced her to Boaz. Boaz was of the tribe of Judah, of the sacred lineage. When she married him, she got grafted into God's eternal plan. Heavy stuff. And when they brought forth Jesse, Jesse was the father of King David. Follow the lineage all the way down. And Joseph, who married Mary, brought the whole scenario into the tribe of Judah. And Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. God had a plan no one could have imagined. But God worked out plan A, not plan B, not plan C, but plan A. And what looked like confusion was God working out his plan. Trust him. He had a bigger and better plan than Peter and Naomi could have ever seen. And even when you fail, out of the ashes of personal failure, God will still work out his plan. Everybody say with me, he's a great big God. So dreams are often dashed, but God still has a plan. And there's one last thing I want to say about this. God works out his plan in his way and in his timing, not yours. One of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah 29:11. When I sign books, I always put Jeremiah 29:11 in it, because it's a hope verse, and it has brought me out of the ashes many, many times. But let me read it to you. God says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And he spoke that to a people who had miserably failed God. Now, I got to read to you out of the Message Bible. I don't like paraphrases always, but this is too good to pass up. This verse in the Message Bible says, I'll show up and take care of you. Everybody say, he'll show up. Now listen to what God promises. I'll show up and take care of you as I promised. I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Can I just pull the main things out? Listen to this. I'll show up. I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. I'll take care of you. You've got a future in me. I want us to say it together. Say, he'll show up. He knows what he's doing. He's got it planned out. He'll take care of me. My future is in him. Give God praise today. Go ahead and give him a hand. Just look at what happened in Peter's experience. Watch this. Jesus rose from the dead. His dream got up from the dead. Appeared to over 500 people for 40 days and ascended into heaven, King of kings, Lord of lords, and soon coming conquering king. And look what happened to Naomi. Oh, this is so powerful. Here's Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. Look what God did. When these women who had first greeted her, and she said, don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. Once Ruth and Boaz had the baby, then here's what these women said to Naomi. Blessed be God. He didn't leave you without family to carry on your life. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. And he did. He'll make you young again. He'll take care of you in old age. And this daughter-in-law who has brought him into the world and loves you so much, why, she's worth more to you than seven sons. God had a plan bigger than Peter and Naomi's plans, and he worked out his plan in his own way, in his timing, and he can do the same thing with you. If you're let down today, now let me just talk to you personally, right to you. I'm talking right to you. Forget about everybody around you. Let me talk right to you. I don't know everyone here. But I know human beings, and I know many of you are in a struggle, a frustrated expectation. You've been pregnant with vision. You can't seem to have the baby. You're struggling. Your faith is being tried and tested. You're like Peter. You've been thrown up in the air, and you're being sifted like wheat. Let me talk right to you. God has a plan. And how to respond when you're disappointed is clearly given to us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know the verse. Don't even turn there. Let me just read it to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Let me break that up just for a minute. When your dreams fail, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Every nook and cranny and crevice of your soul, trust in the Lord with all, everybody say all, your heart. Trust him with all your heart. When you don't understand God's hand, trust God's heart. Trust his character, his goodness, his mercy, his compassion, his power, his sovereignty. Trust him. He's not a man that he can lie. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will do right by you. Let God be true. In every man, in every emotion, in every circumstance, a liar. Let God be true. Boy, I feel like preaching a little bit here today. Second, don't lean on your own understanding. You don't see the whole picture like he does. Can I say that again? You do not see the whole picture like he does. God sees the whole picture. You only see a little bitty part of it. Listen to Paul. We can see and understand only a little about God now. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred. King James says we see through a glass darkly. But when he comes again or I go to him, I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees my heart right now. You don't see what he sees. You know, my daughter used to have an aquarium. And I used to love to go into her room and turn off all the lights and shut the shades and pull up a chair to that aquarium. And then, you know, the aquarium's got a light on the inside. And I loved being in a dark room looking inside that little aquarium at the fish swimming around because it was therapeutic and it was comforting for me. But one night I started thinking, those fish are in that little aquarium. That's the only world they know. They have no idea that sitting in a chair just outside the aquarium is a being. That they can't see, looking at them, watching them, every day dropping food into their tank. providing for them, caring for them, watching over them. All they know is their little aquarium. They have no idea that I'm out there looking in. You know what Paul's telling us? He's telling us we're all in an aquarium. And we can't see beyond that aquarium. We think we can. We think we're so brilliant, so bright. But you know what? We can't see our hand in front of our face most times. Most of what God does, you're never aware of because he's outside the aquarium looking in. And I started thinking one night, maybe there was a rumor among the fish, because sometimes I had to thrust my hand in and move things around and clean out the aquarium and move their house a little bit and change the gravel around and clean things up. And there were some of them that my hand touched. And I imagine some of them going, oh, have you felt the hand? So you had atheist fish who had never touched my hand. And then you had believers who had been touched by my hand. Because when my hand went in, some of the fish were touched and some were not. And so you had a controversy going on inside the tank. Do you believe in the hand? I don't believe in the hand. Well, I felt the hand. I was just walking along one day, minding my own, and oh, it touched me. It touched me. All of a sudden, the hand came into the aquarium. A hand reached down, and you can say what you want, but I know what I felt. I felt that hand. It's real. That hand touched me. I'm a believer now. And I know that since the hand touched me, there's got to be something attached to the hand. So there is a being outside our world. Come on, everybody. There's a being outside our world. And so I believe in the hand that is attached to the arm, that is attached to the man. See, some of you just need to get touched. Some of you are sitting out there, oh, I just don't think that I believe. Oh, one of these days, the hand's going to come into your tank. One of these days, the hand is going to come into your tank, and he's going to touch you. And you're going to go, oh, I believe now. I felt the hand. Oh, hallelujah, I felt the hand. But now here's my point with all this. He's telling us, he's saying, don't lean on your own understanding, because all you can see is the aquarium. Those fish didn't know that outside the aquarium was a being sitting in a great big room, in a great big house, in a great big city, in a great big unfathomable world. They know so little, and so do you. Thank God for the Word that tells me things I would never know without the Word. So trust the Word and its promises, not what your natural eye sees or doesn't see, because you can't see it all. He's moving in ways you can't see. He's setting you up for a blessing in ways you can't see. He's already working on your behalf in ways you can't see. You're in the aquarium. He closes out, in all your ways acknowledge Him. That means submit to Him. So when I'm in a failed expectation, and I've experienced that many, many times. I just knew God was going to do a certain thing. And either it tarried or it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to, because I had misinformed faith. But now, when I've experienced it, you can do one of two things. You can walk away from God, walk away from church, be bitter like Naomi, and play your violin, or submit to Him. In all your ways, submit to Him. And He will direct your path. So I say, Lord, don't understand what happened. I don't understand it. But Lord, I submit to You. Because I believe in the sovereignty of God, that even when I'm wrong, He's right. Even when I miss it, He won't. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in His way. Though he's fall, he will not be utterly cast down, but the Lord will guide him with His hand.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time for another exciting message entitled Overcoming Personal Failures in this sermon series called Faith Breakers. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again here on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.